Let's continue in our talks from John by reading John chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. In this first section of John 16, the Lord informs his disciples of the persecutions that will come in the days ahead. He also further informs them of the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Let's begin with some background notes. John chapter 16 is part of our Lord's second farewell discourse. In this part of the discourse, we have some further teaching concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In verse 1, the Lord said, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." What things is the Lord referring to here? The things that were mentioned at the end of chapter 15, specifically the persecution and hate that they would experience from the world because they were not part of this world. Suppose the Lord had not told them what to expect. They might have thought that preaching the gospel was going to be easy and that everyone would welcome the good news. They might be stumbled when, instead of finding it easy, they are hated and persecuted for preaching the kingdom of God. And so the Lord told them and us what to expect. The persecution mentioned in verse 2 was literally taking place by the time John wrote this gospel. Verse 2, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service." John wrote this gospel in about 85 AD. Already, the Jewish Christians were ostracized from the synagogues. Remember that Paul, before he was converted, was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. He said in Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." Paul actually thought he was offering service to God when he killed Christians. And then, of course, the Roman persecutions against Christians had already begun in AD 64 after Nero blamed the Christians for the fire in Rome. So you see, already these prophetic words of the Lord Jesus here in John 16 were literally being fulfilled when John wrote his gospel. These prophetic words, of course, can be applied today, wherever true Christians are being persecuted in the name of God. In the Sudan, for example, there are recent reports of Christians being put to death, even crucified, by fanatical Muslims who believe they are serving God. Verse 3 indicates that those who persecute Christians then and today do not know God. Verse 3, "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." In verse 5, the Lord said, "But now I go away to him who sent me, And none of you ask me, where are you going? The Lord here seems disappointed that his disciples were not very interested in what was ahead for him. They were only interested in their own future. They were feeling sorry for themselves. Verse 6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. That is, they were feeling sorry for themselves. They were more interested in their loss than in the Lord's future. In verse 7, the Lord said that it was to their advantage that he go away. And that truth certainly applies today. Why is it an advantage that the Lord is in heaven in his resurrected body and not here on this earth? If our Lord was here on this earth, even in his glorified body, his body would be localized to one place at one time. It's to our advantage that the Lord has gone back to heaven and that the Holy Spirit has been sent. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer on the face of this earth all at the same time. That then brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points for this section of John chapter 16. And we have two doctrinal points here about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Doctrinal point number one, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Verses 8 through 10. And when he, that is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The idea here is that the Holy Spirit is like God's prosecuting attorney. He represents God's case against humanity. In fact, the word that's translated here, convict or reprove, is a legal term. As a prosecuting attorney presents evidence upon evidence to bring about a conviction, so the Holy Spirit presents evidence to convict the world. That is, to show that the world is guilty. So the main idea here is not the inner convictions of an unbeliever's guilty conscience, but God's case against humanity, in which the Holy Spirit proves the world is guilty. The world is convicted. God wins the case. The world loses. Now, how does the Holy Spirit go about presenting the evidence? It's primarily through the preaching of the gospel. As the gospel is preached, the world is shown to be guilty of sin, the sin of rejecting Christ, the Son of God. As the gospel is preached, the world is shown to be guilty concerning righteousness. The evidence is that Jesus was righteous and the world fell short of his standards. His resurrection and ascension proved that he was right and the world was wrong and guilty. And as the gospel is preached, the world is shown to be under judgment. Satan is no longer the ruler of this world. He was judged at the cross and it's just a matter of time before the sentence is carried out. His judgment serves notice on the world that unbelievers will be judged because they are guilty. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's make sure that when we preach the gospel, we emphasize that this world is under judgment because they have fallen short of God's standards of righteousness and they have rejected Christ, God's only means of salvation. Let's not hinder the ministry of the Holy Spirit to this world. Let's not preach a watered-down gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Doctrinal point number two, the Holy Spirit guides the believer into truth. The Holy Spirit guides the believer into truth. Verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This promise was made directly to the apostles, and the New Testament scriptures are a fulfillment of this promise. When the apostles wrote the books of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit guided them. This was intrinsic to the process of inspiration. Now, while the promise was made specifically to the apostles, who would be the inspired writers of Scripture, it can be applied to believers today. The Holy Spirit guides the believer into truth today. This is not inspiration of the Scriptures, but illumination of the Scriptures. And this ministry of the Holy Spirit is not independent of the Scriptures. There is no Holy Spirit truth that is independent from God's truth found in Scripture. I remember hearing a Christian say once that the Holy Spirit had given him new truths which were not found in Scripture. No way. I'm not sure what spirit gave him these so-called new truths, but it was not the Holy Spirit. And notice that this ministry of the Holy Spirit is Christ-centered. Verses 14 and 15, we read that the Lord said, He takes what is mine and declares it to you. That is, the Holy Spirit guides us into the teachings and truth concerning Christ. Any guidance into truth that is not Christ-centered and not Christ-focused is not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides the believer into truth. Now, what about practical application? Practical application number one, let's thank the Lord for hiding certain facts from us. Let's thank the Lord for hiding certain facts from us. The end of verse 4, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. The Lord purposely did not tell his disciples about the coming persecutions that they would face until the appropriate time. He could have told them. But he purposely hid these facts from the disciples because it was not in their best interest to know these things before this time. Aren't you glad that the Lord has not revealed to you the way that you will die? Aren't you glad that the Lord has not revealed to you the forms of persecution you may have to suffer in the future? We can be sure that when these times come, the Lord will graciously reveal what we need to know and give us the strength to endure. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 indicates he gives strength to help in time of need. The Lord will graciously give the needed strength to help, but it's at the time of need. Let's thank the Lord for hiding certain facts from us. Practical application number two. Let's thank the Lord for revealing certain facts to us. Let's thank the Lord for revealing certain facts to us. The Lord said in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Just think of what we know as believers and what the world doesn't know about the future. We know that no matter how much suffering we go through now, we will live forever without pain, without suffering, without sin. We know that no matter how many wars and man-made disasters take place now, when Christ returns, there will be universal peace. We know that no matter what persecution the church goes through now, it cannot be destroyed. It is the body of Christ forever. What a blessing to know our future is secure. What a blessing to know what the future holds. What a blessing to know who holds the future. Let's thank the Lord for revealing certain facts to us.